classify this story under how one determined lady with a social conscience can change the world. It started in the early 1970s when Kathleen DiCera was living in a New Jersey suburb about 20 miles west of New York City. She heard from her sister, a nun who serves in medical missions, about the horrifying deaths from starvation of children in famine-stricken Bangladesh.
When my sister relayed that story to me, my first instinct was send money. That Christmas, instead of exchanging gifts, my husband and I made a donation. And then I sort of got involved with World Hunger types of organizations. And just at some moment, I decided to look down and say, you know what? Where my feet are planted is part of this world. I ought to be looking to see who might be hungry here. I live in an affluent community.
Where were you?
Summit, New Jersey. My husband owns his own business. So I was a suburban housewife. But I thought, I can do something.
From that inspiration, Kathleen's efforts have developed into the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, a nationally recognized anti-hunger agency. In the most recent year, it distributed food to charities that provided it to over 900,000 people. On a drizzly morning, I took a tour of the food bank's vast repository in Hillside, New Jersey, about 5 miles south of Newark.
This is the warehouse. How long does this warehouse go on?
We are 285,000 square feet. To put it in visual terms, almost you can put almost 7 football fields in this building.
And what's stored here?
Wide variety of food, canned products, fresh and frozen products. We move, I believe, just over 40 million pounds last year of food.
40 million pounds of food?
Yes, and it's still not enough. And unfortunately, it's going to be like this for a while.
The technical term for living with hunger is food insecurity, defined as uncertain availability of nutritionally adequate and safe foods. According to the USDA's latest numbers, over 50 million Americans live in food insecure households, encompassing about 34 million adults, including the working poor, and 17 million children. When Kathleen DiCera started to act locally in 1975, religious congregations were tuning in to the problem.
The priests in our parish asked that we not eat meat twice a week during Lent in solidarity with the hungry. And as I left church that morning, I stopped the priest and said, "Oh, I think solidarity would be nice, but how about I ask people to buy extra food with the money they save by not eating meat and bring it here?" And I was so fortunate not to talk to someone who said, "We'll have 10 meetings about that." And he said,
That sounds like the observation of someone who's been involved in a lot of meetings.
Yes, yes. So he said, "Who are you going to give it to?" And I said, I don't know, but I know I can figure it out. And I had also been working with the Council of Churches at that time with some groups in Newark that were responding to it. He said, "Sure, go ahead." And so I looked and thought about it, and I said, "Okay, I've got 3 tasks. I need containers to gather the food in. I need to put together some kind of little notice to go out to the congregation saying, next Sunday, bring food." And it wasn't Thanksgiving, which would make it unusual for people. And then I had to figure out where I would give it.
From a local vendor, Kathleen obtained large barrels, which she placed at the church entrance. She distributed her written announcement of the project to fellow congregants and reached out to anyone she could think of who might be able to connect her to people struggling with hunger. It was certainly a well-intentioned initiative, but she soon discovered that finding people who need food isn't as easy as it might seem. For one thing, many potential recipients are shy about asking.
Then I gave my home phone number out to the local hospital, to the welfare department, and just spread the word. If you know of anybody going hungry, tell them to call me. And initially, no one without food called me, but people did call and say, I'm worried about this elderly woman on my street who I don't think is eating very much. Or I know this family where the father's unemployed. There was an embarrassment on the part of people who were suffering from hunger to step forward. And I think that's still here today.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our co-workers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together...
In the early days of Kathleen DiCera's outreach to people facing hunger, the manager of a local grocery store sought her out.
He called me and said, I heard what you're doing, and there's this elderly woman who comes in here once a week. And all she buys each week is one package with 3 chicken wings in it. I'm worried about her. I said, okay, what day does she shop? About what time? And, you know, like many people, they're on a routine. So he told me. And I went to the grocery store, and he pointed her out to me. And when she was leaving, I accidentally bumped her. And as I apologized for that, I asked if I might give her a ride home. And as we rode home, I mentioned the fact that I saw she's got a little package of chicken wings. What was she going to do with that? And then she began to tell me that during the winter, her furnace broke. And she used every bit of her savings to pay to have it fixed. And she said, so now, every week, with these 3 chicken wings, I make chicken soup, and I eat it every day for the week. You know? And I said, you know, I always wanted to be able to make chicken soup. I said, if I came over and I have some vegetables and things, could you teach me how to make chicken soup? She was delighted. So I filled a big bag of groceries, including carrots and, you know, other things, and had to spend some time. And together we made a really full chicken soup. And then I said,
So she taught you how to make chicken soup.
Yes, not that I memorized it after that, but I left a big bag of groceries there as I left. And then I would manage to stop by the next week and say, oh, you know, I tried that chicken soup, and it really was helpful, and I'd leave off something else. And I had another senior I was working with who it took me 3 weeks of stopping by to see her, and she was in her 90s, before she would allow me to come into the house. And so I didn't show any food with me, but what she, on a very hot August day, she said, come in and have some of my homemade currant juice. So I said, okay. And I came in, and I found she lived very much like a recluse. Things were piled up all over. And I sat at her kitchen table, and she took out a glass that didn't look quite clean to me, and I know her eyesight was kind of bad, so I thought, I can get over this. And she took out of the refrigerator a glass milk bottle that you hardly would see anymore, that obviously she had saved, with red juice in it. And the worst big hairy mold growing on top of it that I ever saw. And she scooped off the mold and poured the juice in my glass. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I've been trying 3 weeks to build this relationship. And, you know, I swallowed the juice, and it was catching in my throat. And I went home, and I put a note on my kitchen table. Green and gray mold with black spots, just in case I'm not conscious when you come home. But she loved to garden, but she was getting frail. So I got some kids to dig up her garden, and she planted vegetables for me to take to children, and I would leave off a bag of groceries in exchange.